Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, this is my third time to be able to minister here, and I think I have received a whole lot more than I've been able to contribute, and I always have a takeaway. So my takeaway this time is, Travis, I've never seen you bust a move like you did when you were directing the choir up here. So I know you're getting excited about that marriage coming up, and I just want you to know. Keep it up. Keep it up. Don't you love the pastoral team that God has assembled for this church? They are the best in the nation. So I want to say thank you. It's been a delight this week. And so tonight, my mom and I are going to share in a little ministry. Mom has a phenomenal testimony. The two most influential people in my life, both in spiritual formation, in developing philosophy, helping me to have a biblical worldview, are here. It's Brother Leach and my mom, and I'm so honored to share with you. Here's the scripture that I pray covers this entire evening. It comes from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Paul writes this, "I pray that the God of all hope will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit."
Yeah.
That we tonight will be baptized and filled afresh and anew with great, great hope. Mom, you live with a set of convictions that things just don't happen.
That's right, Doug.
Tell me a little bit about that. I have a feeling I'm going to be interrupted a lot tonight.
Well, you mentioned that I always said the Word says. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 1:3, for everything there is a season, and God has a word and a promise for every season, even in our birth, even if in our arriving on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. You know what? We really had no say in the matter, but God did. I know I wasn't planned by my parents. I know that. But Jeremiah told me, the Lord spoke his word to me, saying, before I made you, Audrey, I formed you in your mother's womb. I chose you before you were born. I set you apart for a special work. And then Genesis 1:1 tells me, in the beginning, God. Mm. Aren't you glad God's always in the beginning of everything, of every season?
Amen.
Ephesians 2:10, for we, all of us, are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those works, good works, which God predestined and planned beforehand for us.
You know, those are powerful scriptures, Mom, and I know that the Word of God has played an important role in your life. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, a little bit. Do you remember, now, if you're maybe 50 and under, you remember this. Can't get enough of that sugar crisp. Sugar crisp. Remember
that? Before my time.
Sugar crisp. Can't get a. How many of you remember that? Get enough of that sugar crisp. It keeps me going strong. Well, I changed that a number of years ago. Can't get enough of the Word of God. Word of God. Word of God. Can't get enough of that Word of God. It keeps me singing a song. It keeps me going strong and singing his song. Okay, well, let's go, Doug.
Tell me a little bit about where you were born and just.
Okay, I was born in the little green bedroom at Grandma's house in Mineral Ridge, Ohio. My mom didn't plan me, my dad didn't plan me because they told me, but God did. God did.
I'm hoping tonight the Lord will deliver you from that sort of what, you know.
God planned then that a move from that house next door to an Assembly of God family in Allen Park, Michigan, when I was 3 years old. The very first week we lived there, they sent one of their children, they had five children, over to invite us to Sunday school. When we came down that first Sunday, there were 12 of us that packed into that little Ford V8, and I had to sit on the driver's lap. But No seatbelts back then. That was the beginning, and that is where I learned Jesus.
Come on, so let's sing it.
Me, this I know.
For the Bible tells me so.
Little ones to
him belong. They are weak, but he.
Sing it like you mean it. You know,
when did you ask Jesus?
Wait,
it's my turn to ask you. Okay,
I'm following the script.
Well, sometimes you just need to follow your son. Okay.
Okay.
I can see where this is going tonight. I'm just telling you. Tell me a little bit, or tell me specifically, when did you ask Jesus into your heart?
Well, it was in a little Sunday school classroom in that basement church in River Rouge, Michigan, that the Sunday school teacher asked me this question, which I think was very wise on her part. She said, I was 4, Audrey, how would you like to have a best friend that will be with you all through your life? Well, back then, ladies my age will know this, little girls love best friends. And at that moment, she introduced me to Jesus, and guess what? For 80 years, he has been my very best friend.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Hallelujah. What a privilege to carry everything to God.
You have that reference point that at that Sunday you gave your heart to Jesus. So you really have benefited from the local church, haven't you? And what else did you learn and what else did you experience in that church?
Great. It was a great season of growth. I learned so much from those Sunday school teachers. I learned about tithing. I found out that 10% belonged to the Lord. I'll never forget. I came from a very poor home, and I was running through the path one day on the way home from school, and I found a dollar bill, and I felt rich, and I was so excited, and I thought, I'll never spend this dollar. And when I got home, Mom said, do you remember what you learned in Sunday school about tithing? And I said, yes. And she said, we have to cash this dollar bill so you can give 10 cents to the Lord. That was my first lesson. But a beautiful part of that was 2 weeks later, I found another $5 bill. And this time, God spoke to my heart and said, see, I always reward obedience.
Wow.
I learned about missions. We are, our church supported a couple in India, the Snyders. They had found a little girl that had been raised by the wolves, and they brought her home. And it took a lot of money to get medical help. And so every week, we would be our pennies and our dimes and our nickels. I learned about missions. Our teen years held a lot of exciting times for me. We held services at hospitals, and Pastor even let me help in substitute teaching the little children. And at that time, I earnestly sought the Lord for the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Cool.
and received a wonderful outpouring with a wonderful heavenly language. And it was at this time that I made this decision to serve him. Whatever he wanted me to do, I would follow him.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him. Come into the picture.
Well, did you meet Dad? Actually, Dad was always in the picture.
Okay.
His parents were from that church. His dad had sacrificed and mortgaged his home to help the church. And they had a boy. He was very handsome. And it was your dad. I met him, and one thing led to another. I won't go into
What's
all that.
What's that mean?
Huh?
What does that mean?
You really want to know?
No, I don't think I do. I don't think I do. Well, didn't he take off and go to Bible college?
He took off and went to Bible school 2 years.
Let's get this more spiritual, please.
2 years before me, he did. And so 2 years later, I headed out to go to Central Bible College. And back then, they called it Central Bridal Institute. Okay. Okay, that wasn't in our script, Doug. So I left, but I had to come home at Thanksgiving because my mom, 39 years of age, had cancer, and it was in the last stages, and I was called, and they said, if you need to get home. Now, next to Jesus, my mom was my very best friend. Wow. I had a little sister, 9 years old. I had a brother in service, and my father was a truck driver and never home. So during the next 2 or 3 months, I took care of my mother. I would set up nights with her when she couldn't sleep, reading her missionary stories. We couldn't afford a doctor, so I was her full-time caregiver.
Wow.
Then on a cold, dreary day in March, she went home to be with the Lord. But you know, God was there with his song. He was there. And this is it. Far away. Is that the song, Doug?
Sure. Depths.
My soul. Night.
Rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial like strains, it unceasingly falls. O'er my soul like an infinite calm.
Nothing like God's peace is
Sing
there.
This church, peace, peace.
Wonderful peace
coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever. You know what, church? If you're comfortable, would you just lift your hands heavenward? Let's sing that chorus again. Peace, peace,
wonderful
coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit. Of love. Wow, so you were only at school for a half a semester, came home to take care of your mom. But so following your mom's death, then where did God take you?
Well, I stayed with her and took care of my little sister, provided a home. But you know, There is a word that we find in God's word, and it has never changed. He spoke to my heart from Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, Audrey," declares the Lord, "plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future."
That's good.
Well, after my husband graduated from CBC and we were married, took my little sister and we moved to Dundee to pastor a new planted church. Now, I was very young and inexperienced, but I had great ideas. First of all, it was a church plant from the Ypsilanti group, and it was a shoe cobbler repair shop.
That was the building?
That was the building.
Okay.
On the side of it were painted in big letters, "Chew Mail Pouch Tobacco."
Did you?
No.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
I'm just glad.
My dear English mother-in-law was shocked when she saw it. But in that church, there were wooden benches and there were wires with bulbs hanging from the ceiling. It was really primitive. But interestingly enough, there was a baby grand piano right in the middle of the building. So my husband said to me, "Good, can you play?" Now get this, I'd never had a lesson. I'd never played in my life, except, you know, I got a little diddly songs. And when you're young, isn't it? I love young people. You don't really know what you don't know. So I said, "Sure, I can play."
You told Dad you could play?
Huh?
You told Dad you could play?
I told him I could play. Faith. I was facing the facts, but believing the faith. Isn't that what he said?
All right.
Facing the facts. Well, anyways, growing up in my church, I had watched this girl play, and I thought, if I could get my hands on a piano, I did ask the Lord to help me, and I was able to play everything in the key of C. One day my husband said, "Sometimes the songs get too high, sometimes they get too low. Can you please find another key?" So I went to F. But anyway, they were just wonderful times of learning, mistakes. That building was pitiful. It really was. So at Christmas, our first Christmas, I begged him to let me put live candles up. He said, "I don't think that's wise." He was a very gentle man. "I don't think it's wise." I said, "But look how beautiful. We don't have the money. I'll make them." So we took blocks of wood, put a hole in the top, wrapped them in foil, and I had somebody nail them on the wall. Oh, they looked pretty good back then. I never thought of this. But that evening, as we were in our service, candles were lit, in comes this lady with a big, long feather on her hat. I prayed, "Lord, don't let her sit there." And that's right where she went. And sure enough, the feather caught on fire. But that wasn't the worst of it. The worst of it was the man behind her reached out and smacked it out, and she got scared and had an epileptic seizure.
Oh, no.
You know what? Lots of new experiences. Lots of them. On the way home, all my dear husband said was, "I never said a word." He said, "No more candles in the church." So, you know what? We did. We found great joy in our ministry. People came to know the Lord and forged ahead, knowing that we could do all things through Christ. That was a time when we stood on the promises, every promise.
Standing on the promises of God, my King.
Through eternal ages,
let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises.
Come on,
that's
what we're doing.
Singing. Standing, I'm standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing. standing on the promises of God.
That never fail, never fail.
Well, tell me a little bit of some more adventures.
Okay. We entered into a season of joy and sorrow. While we were pastoring that church, we were invited to go to a new church plant in Adrian, Michigan, where a couple of ladies, wonderful ladies, had started it. And they were having revival meetings. Maybe some of you remember the Vanderplogues, Reverend and Mrs. Van. And so we loaded up our car, went to Adrian, got in our pew, sat down. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. The evangelist didn't show. Miss Annabelle was her name, came, handed my husband a red children's Bible and said, "We have a young pastor from Dundee, Michigan, and he's going to bring the word tonight." Well,
did you light candles? Did you use candles?
No, no candles.
Good. That's good.
No, that subject never came up again. He stood up and preached the word. And then a few weeks later, she called and said, "Pastor Clay, I believe the Lord is calling you to come and pastor the church at Adrian." Wow. So we left Dundee, went to that wonderful, wonderful church in Adrian, and spent the next 21 years just enjoying ministry in every way. Music, choirs, bus ministry, teaching women's ministries, housing the evangelists, those were back in the days, you know, and cleaning the church, visiting the sick, building programs, three major building programs. And it was during those times that, again, another song really became very, very real to us.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
A big sorrow hit you, didn't it? A big sorrow hit you.
We were vacationing. We were vacationing in Florida with the three children, and my husband had a very serious heart attack. I left the three children, the boys were very young, left them in charge of my daughter, got in the car, found a sign that said hospital, and we ended up at the Holy Cross Hospital. And the doctor came to me and said, "He's having a serious heart attack, what do you want me to do?" My heart was heavy enough, and I don't even remember what I answered, but I had to sign a paper that said I would pay in full when we left the hospital. Mm. We had no insurance. We had no money, no savings. And so when we started to leave the hospital, or before we left the hospital, my husband said to me, "You didn't sign that paper, did you?" I said, "Well, yeah, I did, you know." And so as we were discussing this, he had witnessed to one of his roommates, one of the men in the bed next to him, who happened to be a lawyer, who happened to have money that was to be designated wherever there was a need. And to make a really long story short, the 2 days before we left to fly home, that man and his wife came with a shirt box. I thought it was a shirt. And when we opened a box, it was a check for the full amount of the hospital bill. The full amount. You know, another song, when we trust Him, it's sweet, isn't it?
It's sweet. So sweet to trust.
in Jesus, just to take him at his word.
Just to rest.
Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, all for my favorite verse of that goes like this. I'm so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me and will be with me to thee. Let's do the chorus
wonderful
again.
Jesus,
Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Psalms 4:1, David talked to the Lord and said, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Can you get that? I love this scripture, for I think it's one of the greatest testimonies given by man concerning what can happen during times of grief and sorrow. The sorrows of this life can be a source of life's enlargement, being able to have an experience rather than just a theory. It was during these times that 'Tis So Sweet became my theme song. I found that I could reason less about my troubles and sing and praise more. I found that I could sing my cares away easier then I could reason them away.
Wow.
Yes. More and more changes. We got through that. Church was growing. We had outgrown all three of our buildings, had purchased 50 acres of choice property right on the highway between Toledo, Ohio, and Jackson. Church was growing, I think about 700. And suddenly, have you ever had a suddenly in your life? Suddenly, on a Wednesday morning, at age 42, my husband was promoted to his heavenly home. He was promoted. Now, we had at that time, we had hired a young special couple to come on as our youth pastors. And that was Bill and Marilyn Leach. And they're here tonight. And thank you, Bill and Marilyn, for stepping into our lives when my sons needed you so desperately. You know, it was beautiful. They didn't trust me to buy their clothes. They had Marilyn pick them out. They liked her style. But so that was new. I was a young single parent. We had two boys, 9 and 14, and a daughter, her first year in college. You know, God had a song. God had people that loved us and surrounded us, but he had a song for us. Because he lives, we can what?
Face it. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. My life is worth living just because he lives.
Amen, amen. God gave me a word. For the Lord God is the sun and shield, Psalms 84:11. The Lord bestows favor and honor. This is what I got. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk blameless. I sat down and wrote a list of all the good things I needed. And the Holy Spirit said, Audrey, God's job will give you the good things. That's his part. Your part is to walk blameless. Mm. What a great challenge. So because of the kindness of Brother and Sister Leach, I stayed on and worked with them, just doing a number of things. Meryl and I just, well, I won't even go into that. I know there's no time. But God's provision was great.
That's right.
Someone once said, the trouble with life, it's daily. But, you know, so is God's grace.
That's true.
His word became the first meal of the day for me. You know, when Paul couldn't get rid of his daily troubles, he went to the Lord, and he shares with us in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and what the Lord said to him, God spoke to me, my grace is sufficient for you.
Hallelujah.
My power is made perfect in weakness.
Right.
Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Wasn't always easy. Wasn't always easy. Sometimes in my weak moments, you know, I would call Marilyn. I would stop in to see Marilyn. Her sweet way, she never said a word. She would just say, sit down, we'll have coffee. That's all it takes, folks, in helping others and speaking to others. A smile, a cup of coffee. Well, anyways, that scripture was the assurance that his strength was going to be perfect in my weakness. And that was the assurance I needed to get up and get going each morning. His word became the story of my life and the song of my heart, his blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Oh, what a foretaste!
Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his
hallelujah.
Well,
this is my story, this is my song.
I'm praising my
Savior all the day long.
This is my
story, this is my song. Praising my Savior.
Hey, what key was that in?
The key you asked
for. Yeah, well, let's take it up next time we do this. Okay, that was pretty. Well, we don't have to do it now. I just make a note. That was really down there.
Okay.
Wow, Mom, that's awesome. You know, but you're not done yet, right? There's new chapters. There's new horizons for you even at age 83.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
tell
yeah.
Us a little bit about
loving
that.
Every moment of it. It's great to be in your 80s. Yeah. You know why? Because you can do anything you want, and people say, oh, well, she's 80.
Okay, that wasn't script. Go start
all
from
right,
the script.
All right, back to the script. Hey, Doug, transition is built into the fabric of all our lives.
Sure.
But old age doesn't have to be the last slap.
That's right.
I'm still involved. I go to the jail, the county jail, minister to the girls. What a thrill it is. I go to the nursing homes. I go to prayer meetings. I work in the primetime ministry. Just wonderful. I can do it on my own time. I can sleep in if I feel like it. It is easy at this season of our lives to remember all the mistakes we've made in our lives. And we wish we could start over, but we can't. And I can be honest with you, I've had those moments. Oh, Lord, if I could start over and know what I know now. If I could start over and Google what I need to Google. That wasn't in the script either. In Genesis 1:1, there are four powerful words. If you miss everything we said tonight, get this. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, no matter what season you are in,
that's good.
God is always in the beginning and in every moment of your season. He's there in the beginning, during, after, always. He's there, and let me tell you from experience, he's the master songwriter of the soul. And he has a song for every season that will speak to your heart and lift you into his presence.
Hallelujah.
And help you to refocus on the one who can set you free.
Oh, that's good. You know, it just makes me want to sing, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." Can you strike it? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Come on, let's sing that one again. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Let me say this to you, all of you that are out here. You've all had stories and experience. You know what? The song is out there. The song is ready for you. God gave it to us over 2,000 years ago when he gave us his only son. Jesus was the beginning of a song that never ended.
Yeah.
Nothing, not death, not trials, not tribulation, not losses. Nothing can shut that song down. You know, the devil tries to stop the music anyway. He can, but it's always there. And from my experience, it's always available to you. 1 Chronicles 16:9, sing to the Lord. Yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his miracles. Let the whole world know what he has done. It is Jesus that keeps us singing regardless of our circumstances.
Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing and it keeps me singing. Come on, let's sing that chorus again. It's Jesus.
Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing,
and he keeps me
singing as I go.
Let me leave you with one last thought. Remember when I said in the beginning, the trouble with life, it's daily? Listen to what Joshua told the people and speaks to us. Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. We must daily consecrate ourselves for the song of the Lord. Determined to live with a song in our heart. Psalms 119:54, Doug, has been one of my theme songs. Your principles, God, have been the music of my life throughout all of my pilgrimage, and he wants to be the music in your life.
Hallelujah.
I have
the song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. And never was a sweeter melody than the melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. Not bad for 83 years.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You can be seated. You know, God is no respecter of persons. You can keep playing. I need some background fill. Something soft. God's no respecter of persons. The Lord who has been faithful to a girl who came from a broken home, whose dad was a gambler, whose mom died of cancer at an early age, and someone who had to take care of her brother and sister. God was faithful. God put her on a path and on a journey, and she said yes to follow that path and journey. And at age 83, I bet if you were to ask my mom, would she want to trade places with anybody in this congregation, she would say absolutely not. Because in her life, God gets sweeter and sweeter every single day. But it's awesome that the faithfulness of God in her life can be the faithfulness of God in your life. There's a song for you. There's a song for the season that you may be in. And Pastor Joel and I had talked about this, and tonight this is what we want to do. If you're here tonight and you happen to be a single parent, or perhaps you are parents and one of your children are a single parent, and they're struggling with some of the weight and some of the pressure that comes with doing double duty as a single parent, some of the tensions, some of the just the spiritual and the emotional struggles with this, I want you to know God has a song for you. God has a spirit of lift to give you. And God's grace can be your portion of strength. I'm going to ask the pastors and the spiritual leaders, the elders of the church, if you would come at this time and gather at the front. And we're going to stand and we're going to just sing the chorus that Mom is playing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Go ahead and come now. And on the very first word of this song, if you're here and you're a single parent, or you are a mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, and you have a son or daughter that's a single parent, and you'd like to take them to the Lord, and you'd like to say, "Oh God, if you can do it for Audrey Clay, you can do it for me. You can do it for our son. I am so grateful. God is no respecter of persons. And his grace, his mercy, his wisdom, his provision, his strength and his care is there for you." So church, would you stand together with me? And tonight, this prayer is for you. You're a single mom. Do not be ashamed to come and just let somebody pray for you. Let the glory of the Lord through a prayer fill your heart with hope. Remember, we open this with Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with joy, peace, and hope as you put your trust in him. And tonight, it's our prayer that God will fill you with all hope. So as we sing, if you're a single parent or you represent single parents, I want you to come and let the elders just anoint you with oil and pray for God's peace and strength and blessing to be yours. Jesus, Jesus, how, oh, how I dream. Hey, staff elders, would you just begin to pray for these who are coming forward? For God. God's strength, for God's peace, for God's dimension of power to be there. Jesus, 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 Jesus. How I pray. Jesus. Oh, how sweet to trust, just to trust His claim, and simple faith to plunge neath the healing. Come on, let's lift our hands heavenward. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, where
just us all for grace. Hallelujah.
Congregation, would you extend your hands for him? Would you just begin to pray for this great group of people here? Would you audibly begin to ask for the Lord's covering and blessing and provision and protection to be upon them? Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is our refuge and strength. God is our ever-present help in time of trouble. Hallelujah! Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus! Praise your name, Lord. Praise your holy name. Praise you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You are great, Lord. You are great, oh God. We worship you. We adore you. We honor you. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name, Jesus. Praise your wonderful name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless your name. To worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. I love you, Lord. Take joy, my King. What you hear, let it be a sweet sing that again. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship so rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear, and let it be us. Your ear, and I exalt. surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence? Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord.
Deuteronomy chapter 10. I guess I gotta put this on. Sorry about that. Okay, Sean, thanks. Deuteronomy chapter 10 says, "Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them. You've heard a story of God's love on somebody's life tonight. God set his affection on Audrey Clay and loved her through all the seasons of life, through all the challenges of life, through all the difficulties of life. And he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations. So circumcise your hearts and do not be stiff-necked any longer." Please, don't get stiff-necked when things go awry or you come across difficult times in your life. You do that, you're the one that'll pay for it. And you'll just compound your situation. "For the Lord your God is God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the alien. He gives him food and he gives him clothing." Anytime that God directs you to help a single parent, a difficult or a tough situation. Most of that happens to the Samaritan Fund here at church, but even aside from that, do what God tells you to do. Because that's pleasing, very, very, very pleasing to the Lord. Galatians chapter 2 says that we should be anxious to help those that are in need. It should be what we want to do, what we're after. And I know this church operates that way, and I thank you. I thank you for being that way. The Lord is teaching Don and I a lot about this. We have had a single parent live in our house the last year and a half. We've just gotten our empty nest back in the last 2 months. The dogs don't know what to do with it, let me tell you. But we learned a lot in that 18 months. We wouldn't trade that 18 months for anything because we've learned a great deal. James Dobson is right. Single parent job is the hardest job in the universe. And if you're like me, there are times that you want to quickly pass judgment and say, "Well, how'd you get there in the first place?" Da, 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 da. Don't do that. Don't go there. Just say, God's called me to come alongside and help and love. And I just thank you I thank you all as a congregation for being that kind of people. You who are single parents, and it might be a single mom and it might be a single dad. I know of a number of single dad situations, and we kind of don't talk about those. Those aren't any prettier than the single mom situations, let me tell you. Let's as a congregation always come alongside and help. And if you're in that position and you need help, please, please let us know. It's important that you let us know so that we can help. Audrey, thank you for sharing your story with us tonight. It's really encouraged all of us. Really, really has. And we're just going to go from this place better, well-rounded people because of this. I pray the Lord would bless you and keep you. The Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. I ask that God would grant unto you a full heart of compassion for those who come across your path and who need the touch of the Lord through you. And that touch would happen in your going out and your coming in your lying down and your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until we all come to stand before Jesus in a day I don't think it's too far away. Next Sunday morning, we start that new series, Cries from the Cross. Next Sunday morning, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Bring people to church next Sunday who need to hear about the forgiveness of the Lord for sins in their life, and they'll come to find Jesus next Sunday morning. Amen. Good night. God bless you. Have a good week.